That's EEECS. It stands for Electronics, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science. My name is TJ Cosgrove. I'm the Technology and Innovation Officer for the School of Electronics, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at Queen's University Belfast. Our passionate staff and incredible students are at the forefront of 21st century technology, working in areas like artificial intelligence, data analytics, virtual reality, robotics, cybersecurity, smart grids, and cloud edge computing. But what do these technologies actually do? How do they work? And what do they mean for our future? We break down the complex topics and explain the big ideas with our experts, researchers, staff, and students. This is the EEECS podcast. So today I have Dr. Blesson Varghese on the podcast with me. Thanks, Blesson, for coming and making some time to talk to me.
Thank you for having me on this podcast, DJ.
Blesson, could you give me a little bit about your background and your current research, please?
Yeah, surely. I'm a computer scientist at the School of Electronics, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science in Queen's University, Belfast, where I also lead the Edge Computing Hub. I work as a senior lecturer, and I'm also affiliated with the ESET Queen's Global Research Institute. Mm-hmm. I'm also a Royal Society Short Industry Fellow and spend time working with British Telecom's BT. My primary research interests are in tackling some of the performance, efficiency, and sustainability challenges of the future internet under the umbrella term edge computing.
And edge computing is one of those terms that I think most people have heard thrown around. What does it actually mean?
Well, there's plenty of hype around this term, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we should perhaps put it in the right context. Now, it's anticipated that by 2025, over 80 billion devices and sensors will be connected to the internet. Now, they're likely to generate over 180 trillion gigabytes of data.
It's quite a lot.
The devices, indeed. Now, the devices and sensors are likely to range from those in user gadgets, such as mobile phones or Fitbits, mm-hmm. to large and more complex systems, you know, such as autonomous cars, smart factories, and cities. Mm-hmm. Now, the current way in which we process the data generated from these devices is by sending them to geographically distant clouds. But I don't think this is a tenable proposition when more and more devices get added, and there is a demand for more responsive applications and more network bandwidth is required. So researchers both in academia and industry have been working towards redesigning the way the internet works. One mm-hmm. feasible option that they have come up with is to do some of the data processing outside the cloud, closer to the source of the data. Now, one obvious location is to tap into the compute power that could be available at the edge of the network. So if you think of examples like home routers or mobile base stations or internet gateways outside the cloud, or alternatively, even dedicated micro data centers that are located closer to end users. Now, it's this paradigm in which resources that are located at the edge of the network that can be used to host entire applications, or perhaps just selected services of an application, what is referred to as edge computing.
Okay, so it's taking the stuff that would normally be sent to big data centers and processed and then sent back to you and doing some of that processing closer to home.
That's correct. That's well put.
And how is that different then from the normal structure? That normal structure obviously is everything sent to the cloud, and the cloud is what? Someone else's computer effectively, but just in a different place?
Yeah, so in a typical network, we would carry our data from our own devices or from the sensors to the cloud, which will mm-hmm. be owned by a corporation or by somebody else. This data is usually carried through to the cloud over multiple intermediate hops. Think of a home setting, for example. You might have a home router, and you could be sitting with your mobile phone on the couch, and all the data that your mobile phone is generating will get carried through the home router. And then many other intermediate hops that we don't see, owned by various telecom companies, owned by the government, before our data eventually reaches the cloud. Now, typically, these routers and the intermediate hops that I'm talking about are not used to process our data. But within the context of edge computing, it would be possible to pre-process some of our data on these hops before they eventually reach the cloud or elsewhere.
Okay. Okay, so bringing that stuff closer to home or business or wherever it might be. And so that edge computing architecture, it's something that's presumably being built at the minute and then expanding. But what's it used for?
So edge computing is thought to be hugely beneficial for internet-based distributed applications that need to be more responsive. And I will expand on that in a moment. So, think of augmented reality applications where lags between the movement of the head and what is seen on the screen of an AR headset would normally cause cyber sickness. Think of robots or drones, which may be less safe to operate in environments where there are humans, because the environment may change rapidly and robots or drones cannot respond in real time. Or you could also think of, a delay of a tenth of a second of an autonomous car moving fast, which could be fatal because it is perhaps more than the braking distance. So in all these applications I've mentioned, edge computing would bring the benefit of processing data closer to the data source. So in the case of the augmented reality headset, or whether it's a robot or a drone or an autonomous car, we could actually process data much closer to the data source rather than sending the data from these devices and sensors all the way to the cloud. So we make our applications more responsive and even bandwidth efficient. And that's notwithstanding the security and privacy benefits that are offered by localized processing.
Yeah, because I suppose that not sending the data is the most safe way to transfer data. So if you have information that you don't necessarily want to make public or that you want to improve the security of, not sending it across networks unnecessarily is a really good way of cutting out the ability for people to either intercept that or muck around with it. So it's a really good way of increasing the security, I suppose. And as you say, if you're in a self-driving car, the last thing you want is for it to start buffering if it's going to decide if it's going to turn left or not. That needs to be made on the car in as fast a time as possible, not sent off to some data center somewhere to have a think about it.
That's correct, TJ.
That's really interesting. And so what are the sort of exciting future proposals for this? Because, I mean, the technology is this architecture is being rolled out at the minute, isn't it? But what is the sort of the roadmap for that going forward?
So edge computing is thought to be one of the next major internet frontiers. There are many large investments that we're seeing at the moment in this area from global corporations that operate in telecoms, networking, processors, other types of computer technologies. Now, from an educational point of view, there are plenty of things to learn in this new space. It's constantly evolving because it's in its nascent stages and it's always bringing new possibilities to light. We might even have the opportunity to revisit and challenge some of the traditional notions of what's known about large and distributed complex systems. Now, from an innovation standpoint, of course, there's going to be plenty of opportunities that edge computing offers. So, for example, realizing, several human-in-the-loop type of applications and making them more responsive, some of which I've just mentioned before. Now, many of these applications are usually confined to laboratories simply because the current internet technology is insufficient. So I think it'll be certainly exciting to see an entire new portfolio of applications emerge that are based on, sensors and operate in a sensor-rich environment and will enable humans to interact with the environment and machines more closely.
And it's quite an interesting change from sort of the architecture of the internet at the minute. The internet at the minute, I suppose, is lots of local machines and then the cloud, which is this big, big buzzword similarly several years ago. And the cloud offers, all this potential for computing and making decisions and sending data back and forth. And that was kind of the structure of the internet for a long time, where you had your machine and then everything was sent off and processed and then sent back apps and things like that. This is taking some of that and distributing it along, which I suppose it comes with challenges as well as sort of positives, in that if you have a big data center, and something goes wrong, you know that within the walls of the data center, there is the problem. But if you have compute and power and all these different operations spread out, not just physically, but globally, it might be really hard to figure out, is the problem in this thing, or is it that thing, and which way along the pipeline is the issue? Does that mean that those problems are bigger, even if it is a better opportunity?
So edge computing does offer us a number of opportunities that I've mentioned, but they have their own challenges, as you just mentioned. And that is just one of the challenges that you have described as to where exactly did the fault occur. But then think of the severe not just technological, but think of the legal implications. Who is responsible for that fault? What happens if there's a breach? You know, who's going to be responsible for it? How are we going to even audit this? How are we going to keep track of where data was processed? Mm-hmm. So all these opportunities that we are presenting as the pros of edge computing do indeed come with a number of challenges that will need to be tackled. The research community, both in the academia and industry, are tackling these challenges. We are trying to innovate in this space. We are trying to bring about products that could help us adopt this technology seamlessly. And we are trying to tackle these challenges.
Fantastic. And I think that's, from chatting to you about this, I think that's kind of going forward, we'll see more and more of this. And people are aware of these buzzwords like the cloud and edge computing. And they come in to sort of consumer and public knowledge through industry, through research. But it's only when they start kind of coming into consumer products and when you start using them in your daily life, maybe not even without realizing it, that's when I guess the public starts recognizing them as sort of they're here and they're integral and they're part of it. And I suppose that transition is happening now. That's already underway.
Yes, you're absolutely correct, TJ, about that. So I passionately believe that edge computing will become a reality. It's simply because of the huge potential that it has and the benefits it offers. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we have discussed some of the challenges, but they are being tackled. Yeah. And it is going to become the de facto way in which we use the internet. I would anticipate that edge computing will become an integral part of technology and of our lives, just as how the cloud is today.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to using and enjoying it.
Thank you, TJ.
Thank you very, very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I've learned an awful lot that I didn't know already.
That's good. Well, I'm still learning.
I think we all should be. You've been listening to the EEECS podcast. You can find us on our website, www.qub.ac.uk/schools/EEECS. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at QUBEEECS. EEECS, inventing tomorrow, today.